sure is good to be with each of you. It is an honor to be with you, and I appreciate very much the invitation. Been looking forward to this week, and it has certainly been a blessing. It has been a week that I will continue to remember with fondness. It has been great to get to know each of you. Appreciate very much the meals that have been provided. What a delicious meal this evening from the ladies' class. If anybody was there and walked away hungry, something's wrong, because there was a lot of food and it was outstanding. Thank you to you cooks. Appreciate very much the prayer that was led this evening, also the great song leading, and the way each of you have taken part in the worship service. I'm grateful for this congregation. I'm thankful for the elders here. I'm thankful for what you mean to this community, what you mean to the Lord's kingdom, for Brother Steve and his excellent work, for his determination and his ability in spreading, teaching and spreading the gospel of Christ. Visitors, it is good to be with you. We appreciate those of you who have come from area congregations to hold up the brethren's hands here at Elkmont in their work this week. And also, if you're visiting from the community and are not a member of the Lord's Church, we honor you as guests tonight. Human nature remains much the same through the years. One may find among those at the crucifixion of Christ people possessing the same characteristics as mankind today. Mankind gathered beneath the cross and they watched him die there. Matthew 27:36. It was a variety of people that were there around our Lord during his last hours. A variety of motives prompted their being there. Some were commanded to be there. Some duty demanded their participation. Of this number was the centurion, the Roman officer in charge, Matthew 27:54. Others were there by chance, devout Jews from distant places en route to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. Simon of Cyrene, who was forced to bear the cross of our Lord, Matthew 27:32, was also one of those. Some were there because of curiosity, influenced by that which draws a crowd to the scene of a commotion, Luke 23:48. And, as is often the case, there were those there to criticize, to find fault, to rail on, to ridicule the one whom they so despised, Jesus Christ, Matthew 27:39-42. But God be thanked, there were those there who were sympathetic to Christ. There were some there who had compassion and who were ready to assist our Lord in any way they could. Matthew 27:55. What would have been our attitude had we been there? We are filled with righteous indignation as we contemplate the awful things that they did to our Savior that day. The things that they did to him in those bleak hours leading up to his death. It is possible that we have sometimes felt, as did the Prussian general, who, upon hearing for the first time the account of the crucifixion, his eyes seeming to flash fire, drew his sword, stood at attention, and said, "If I had been there, they would not have crucified my Lord." Of course, and as we've already noticed this week, it was God's will, and Jesus would continue to the cross. What would have been our attitude, though, had we been there? We were there, representatively. Someone there represented us. There are modern pictures that fit that ancient setting. Among them, our very own, beneath the cross. Who was there beneath the cross that day? One, there were those there who were representatives of religion. Present were Pharisees, scribes, priests, and Levites. Those represented the organized religion of that day. Was their attitude of one of sympathy? Was their attitude one of compassion? No. In fact, they were the chief instigators of Jesus' death. So we would ask why? Had they found out that our Lord was an imposter? Had they learned that he was a deceiver and thus felt that it was their duty to protect the people whom they led and represented? No. No such motive influenced them. Well, had Jesus deprived them of something that was rightfully theirs? No. Why then did they regard Jesus with such malice and hate? Why? Because he had uncovered their hypocrisy. He had uncovered the corruptions of their worship, and he had exposed them as ravenous wolves feeding on the poverty of widows and orphans. And they were well aware of the fact that if his influence were not destroyed, they would eventually lose their control. They would eventually lose control over the people, and they would lose their lofty positions. Thus, they watch him die there. In our world today, there are those who do not join us in preaching the pure gospel. The religionists of Jesus' day, Pharisees, scribes, priests, and Levites, they love tradition more than truth. We see that today. We see it in the teaching that one does not have to do those things which our Lord made essential to salvation. Beneath the cross, there were representatives of religion. And two, beneath the cross, there was a bloodthirsty mob. Have you ever thought about the sudden change in the people during the Lord's last days on this earth? Have you ever thought about that change? 4 days before his condemnation and death, those same people, upon his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, they positioned themselves as adoring spectators along the way. Let's open our copies of the Word of God and read Matthew 21, 8 and 9. Matthew 21, 8 and 9. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. That would be a show of honor. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. But friends, within that very same week, those same people are shouting, let him be crucified, Matthew 27, 23. The same people, same week. How do we account for that sudden change in their attitudes? What promoted them to change their estimate of Jesus? Their leaders applied mob psychology to accomplish their evil. By untruths and by deception, they turned those folks against Jesus. The people blindly followed. Ever see that today? Many today blindly follow the direction of others. They do not investigate for themselves, but they allow others to decide their opinions. They allow others to decide their positions. People should go to the Word of God. They should be like the noble Bereans who search the Scriptures daily to make sure that those things that they were being taught were so. Acts 17:11. And three, beneath the cross, there is a centurion. The centurion was in charge of the crucifixion. He was the one that was in charge of carrying out the court's decree. The events of that day on which Jesus died had a tremendous influence upon that centurion. When Christ died, the veil of the temple was rent, you'll remember, from top to bottom, Matthew 27:51. That veil was the great curtain which divided the temple into two areas. It separated the holy place from the most holy place. It was 4 inches thick and it was 70 feet tall. And suddenly it began ripping downward. Not from the bottom to the top, as if some man might have somehow done it, but from the top to the bottom, indicating the work of our Almighty God. The earth shook from an earthquake. The rocks were rent, and the graves of the dead were opened, Matthew 27:51-52. Question. What effect would that have had on you? What effect did it have on the centurion? Let's notice. Turn to Matthew 27:54. Matthew 27:54. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." The events of the cross, the incidents of the cross, brought such belief upon the heart of this Roman officer that he confessed, "Truly, this was the Son of God." But despite the fact that he confessed the truth, there is no indication in the Bible that he did anything about it. Today, there are those who say, similarly, with a similar type attitude, let's put it that way, "I believe the Church of Christ is right, and if I am ever going to be anything religiously, that is what I am going to be." But they never do anything about it. They pursue a course contrary to their own conception of what is right. In so doing, they have not only the condemnation of the Lord upon them, but they are condemned also by their consciences. They know what they need to do, but they don't do it. So this centurion is representative of those who acknowledge the truth, but do not obey it. Four, beneath the cross were Roman soldiers. These soldiers nailed Jesus to the cross, John 19:23. Were these soldiers Jewish sympathizers wanting to help the priests and the rulers in protecting their traditions? No. These Roman soldiers were no more favorable of the Jewish leaders who, because of the circumstances, they happened to be assisting than they were toward Jesus. In fact, the Romans, they despised the Jewish religion. And they no doubt regarded Jesus with the same contempt that they felt for all others of his race. We might say that these included the cynics and the agnostics of Jesus' day. As such, they are representative, sadly, of a growing number of people in our day. There are those who have become so disgusted with the emptiness and the worthlessness of denominationalism that they classify themselves now as being anti-religious. They're not going to have a thing to do with it, not realizing that they which they have rejected was not Christianity at all. They need to be informed of what true religion is. That they need to be informed that it is unmixed with the doctrines and the commandments of men. A pure spring flowing from the well of God. 5. Beneath the cross was a man by the name of Simon of Cyrene. Simon was made to be involved in circumstances that were beyond his control. Circumstances over which he had no control whatsoever. On Jesus' way to Golgotha, the place of a skull, because of the likeness of a skull in the rock wall there, the place of the crucifixion, Simon of Cyrene was made to carry, or Jesus was made to carry the cross on which he was to die. Well, exhausted from the scourging, the Bible implies that he sank under the cross's weight. Simon of Cyrene was near. He happened to be passing by, and he was forced to carry the cross of Jesus. Matthew 27:32. From far off Africa, Simon had come, likely to the great Passover feast. This was perhaps the most important journey of this man's life. Here he is on the doorstep, if you will, of this feast, the Passover, when his hopes are shot down. You see, to touch the cross was to render himself ceremonially unclean and thus unfit for worship. Let's notice Matthew 27:32. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. Simon did not bear the cross willingly, but was compelled, forced to do so. Do we bear the cross of Christ willingly today? Do we complain at the restraint that it demands? The offense of the cross has not ceased. Galatians 5:11. Because Paul preached the cross uncompromisingly, he suffered greatly. This teaching, the teaching of the cross, the teaching of the gospel, is offensive to many today. We sometimes sing, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. When we have an opportunity to speak up for Jesus, do we do so? When people corrupt his teachings, do we, of course, in love and meekness, do we come to his defense? 6. We may see ourselves, our own actions mirrored in the actions of Jesus' disciples during this period. We may see ourselves mirrored in their actions or in their inaction. Maybe we word it that way. You see, as long as all was well, as long as the sea was smooth, and no storm threatened, Jesus' disciples were right there. During the time of Jesus' popularity, when the multitudes were flocking to hear him and the interest in him was great, his disciples were right there. They were basking in his reflected glory. But when evil forces united for the final battle, the disciples forsook Jesus in the hour when he needed them most. And they fled, Mark 14:50. When Peter followed the Lord afar off, Matthew 26:26-75, he was representative of many today. He chose to be as far away back so as not to hold any responsibility, and yet close enough that were the wind to change, he could get right back up there and enjoy it. Some today are unwilling to bear responsibility in the maintaining of the cause of Christ, in the growth and the promotion of the kingdom. Those, like Peter, follow afar off. Let's be involved. Let's be involved in the work of the Lord like never before. Let's not allow some persecution or some disease or something else to take us out of action. Let's be right there near our Lord and committed to the growth of his kingdom. Only near the Lord is safety. But 7, beneath the cross, there were some godly women. They had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, Matthew 27:55. Oblivious of personal danger. What an attitude. Oblivious of personal danger. They remain near to Jesus to do what they could. They are a great example to me in how I need to live my life. Someone has written, "Not she with traitorous kiss her Savior stung. Not she denied him with unholy tongue. But she, while apostles shrank, did dangers brave. Last at the cross, first at the grave." These godly women represent many, thankfully, in the Lord's church today. Many in the room this evening. And we are thankful for you. And may your tribe increase. Women and men, young and old, who put the kingdom of God first in your life, come what may, we're thankful for you. Yes, you and I were there when they crucified our Lord. Someone represented us. The question is, who? If we have been following Jesus afar off, Peter is representative of us. But we can do the same thing that Peter did, and we can come back near the Lord. He was the keynote speaker on the day of Pentecost, the day the Lord's church was established. Look how much he grew. And we can as well. We can come back to the Lord, we can come closer to the Lord, and we can be a great force in the Church of Christ. If you have not had faith in Jesus as the Son of God, John 8:24, repented of your sins, Luke 13:3, confessed your faith in Jesus as the Son of God, Matthew 10:32, and been immersed into his body, Galatians 3:27, will you do so this evening? Your sins will be washed away in Jesus' blood, Acts 22:16, Revelation 1:5. As we read in Acts 2:47, you will be added to the Lord's church. Tomorrow is the path that leads to never. The clock says today. The calendar says today. Our heartbeat says today. Our Lord says today. But many say tomorrow. Today is the day to respond to Christ. Today is the day to make sure that we are living in keeping with His will. Let's do all the good we can in the kingdom. Let's do all we can to take as many with us as we can. Let's honor our Savior. All glory to God. If we have need to respond to His invitation, will we do so as together we stand and sing?